Most of us in the church aren't, by the world's definition, important people. We're not CEOs of giant corporations, heads of state, judges, military leaders, media owners, leaders in science and technology. What I mean to say is that our day-to-day decisions don't affect millions of people. They don't move huge amounts of money. They don't trigger war, unrest, or economic pain. They don't shape the future direction of this civilization. Yet, we are the very ones that God has called out of this world to be placed into positions of power in the coming kingdom of God, ruling under Christ. Positions that come with tremendous responsibility for the lives of billions of human beings. Now, how can God take someone like you or me and entrust us with that sort of position? We're over here riding a tricycle, and the next thing you know, we're being given keys to a Ferrari. I love the story of Joseph. Here's a young man. He starts off as basically a hated younger brother, gets sold as a slave, then becomes a servant, then a prisoner. But in each low position, he handles responsibility well. He keeps doing the right thing in smaller duties, proving himself over and over with small choices. Then suddenly, he's made second in command over Egypt. So let's rewind a bit, and I want to key in on one of those choices. So Joseph is a slave. His brother sold him. He has every reason to be better, to cut corners, to do the bare minimum. Nobody back home would ever know, but he doesn't. He's faithful in managing Potiphar's household day after day in the small unseen work. Then the real test comes in Genesis 39. And you can put a marker in Genesis 39 because we're going to flip back to it periodically. But Genesis 39 verses 7 through 12, we read about his encounter with Potiphar's wife. So Genesis 39 verse 7, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, lie with me. But he refused. And he said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Sin against God, right there, not against Potiphar, against God. And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business. And there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand, and he fled, and he got him out. There were no witnesses there. There was no accountability partner there. But Joseph knew if he went along and did what Potiphar's wife wanted him to do, God would have seen it. So the faithfulness was entirely between him and God. Leading up to that point was just a series of small moments of doing the next right thing. And when the stakes were higher, Joseph continued to do the right thing, especially when it mattered most. We're not living in Joseph's circumstance, but every single day we stand in our own version of Potiphar's house, at work, at home, in the moments nobody sees. And it's in those small everyday decisions, not the dramatic moments, where doing the next right thing is how we trust God when we can't see the full picture. So let's turn to Luke 16, Luke 16 and verse 10. Luke 16 verse 10, Christ tells us, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Joseph was a slave in Potiphar's house. He wasn't running a nation. He owned nothing, but he was faithful in what he was responsible for, another man's household. And he was faithful to God. Let's go back to Genesis 39. Genesis 39, and let's read verses 2 and 3 now. Genesis 39, verse 2. And the Eternal was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Eternal was with him, and that the Eternal made all that he did to prosper in his hand. This isn't magic. God was working his purpose in Joseph's life, and Joseph trusted God through all of it. All these bad things happened to him, yet Joseph never turned his back on God, even though he had no idea why this was happening to him or what would become of him. And notice Potiphar could see the difference. Verse 3 says his master saw that the Eternal was with him. Faithfulness to God is visible even to people who don't know God. Let's turn to Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Eternal with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. This is what Joseph did. He trusted God with all his heart, didn't try to figure out why he was there or figure out how to get out of that situation, and he allowed God to direct his paths, all the small day-to-day moments, the decisions, how he conducted himself within Potiphar's household, all stemmed from the foundation of God's way. Back to Genesis 39, verse 4. And Joseph found grace in his sight as Potiphar, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. It most certainly wasn't any one thing Joseph did that caused Potiphar to elevate him to overseer. It was a culmination of small things, doing the right thing over and over and over. And all these things weren't done to serve Potiphar. Joseph was serving God in this process. So if you put in your notes Colossians 3 and verse 23, it says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." So yes, Potiphar was reaping the benefits and Joseph was his slave, but in performing those duties in faithfulness to God, Joseph was serving God, not Potiphar. And God, if God's spirit dwells in us, if we are living by his word, if we are following his ways, then our everyday decisions will reflect that. We all have our own small responsibilities. Our families, our jobs, school, various relationships, our very own bodies. These are all things God has put in our hands. Do we manage them in good faith? Do we realize that it all matters to God? Think about the thousands and thousands of small moments in our lives that seem insignificant in the grand scheme of running the government of God. Every time we turn down a slice of pepperoni pizza, every time we let work know we have to take off for a holy day, every time we turn off the radio when a Christmas jingle comes on, even things like nursing a baby bird that fell out of its mother's nest back to health, or correcting our children when they do something wrong, these moments seem small, but they absolutely matter to God. It's what God is using to see if we have what it takes to rule in his government. It translates. If you can run your life in faithfulness to God, you can run God's government. If it's your job to feed the cat and the cat never gets fed, how can that individual be trusted to feed those who will hunger for God's word in the future? If a father cannot run his household, how can he be expected to run a city? It's small moments in our own lives that add up over time, that demonstrate to God if we can be entrusted with larger responsibilities. How do we honor our parents? With respect or contempt? Do we give full effort to our employers, or do we slack off? Do we treat our employees or our subordinates fairly, with kindness? Do we cut corners, stretch the truth when convenient? We make hundreds of decisions every day, every word we say, every thought we have, every action we take is being judged, be it good or evil. And it can get wearisome, always doing what is right day after day. If doing the right thing were easy, we wouldn't need God's Spirit to help us, and everyone would do it. Turn to Galatians 6. Galatians 6, verse 9. Galatians 6, verse 9. And let us not be weary in doing well, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. In due season, not today, not tomorrow, but in due season if we faint not. Looking back at Joseph, he never saw Egypt coming. He never had a 5-year plan. He was faithful as a slave in Potiphar's house, then faithful in a prison cell, then faithful interpreting dreams for a forgotten cupbearer, and the cupbearer forgot him. For 2 years, nothing. Each one looked like a dead end, but none of them were. We don't need to see Egypt. We just need to be faithful in the house we're standing in right now. Do the next right thing, and in due season, if we faint not, we shall reap.